The violence in Gaza. White House National Security Council spokesman John Kirby with the update.
So far, 74 U.S. citizens and family members arrived on the Egyptian side. That's in addition to the five Americans who departed Gaza yesterday. And I want to stress that these numbers are changing in real time.
It's happening as Israel launches more attacks on Hamas targets in Gaza. CBS's Ian Lee reports from Tel Aviv.
From this position, we can hear artillery, we can hear warplanes, and in the distance in Gaza, you can see smoke from airstrikes.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken is headed to the Middle East to help de-escalate that conflict. Former Memphis police officer Desmond Mills has pleaded guilty to state and federal charges over the death of Tyree Nichols.
A 29-year-old unarmed black man died 3 days after he was beaten during a traffic stop. Civil rights lawyer Benjamin Crump says police should be on notice.
Well, the message is being sent clear today that you will be held accountable.
Four other former Memphis police officers face charges in the case. Jim Crisula, CBS News.
Donald Trump Jr. was back on the stand today in New York and later slammed the state prosecutors going after his dad for fraud.
I think it went really well. If we were actually dealing with logic and reason, the way business is conducted. But unfortunately, the attorney general has brought forth a case that is purely a political persecution.
He admits he signed off on fraudulent financial paperwork, but says he relied on accountants to make sure it was all legit. You've heard stories about razor blades, but some parents in Kentucky found pills in their kids' Halloween candy. WKYT reporter Alyssa Williams is in Owingsville.
The department was notified that the family had found four tan pills with a V inscribed on them.
We looked it up. They're a type of a muscle relaxer.
Sutherland says although this is the only incident that has been reported, he urges everyone who has trick-or-treated in the area to thoroughly inspect their kids' candy.
A roofing company in Florida is ruffling some feathers with its new Thanksgiving promo. Here's CBS's Jen Clark.
The owner of Roof Easy in Cape Coral is offering what he calls the Roof and Gobbles Special.
You're getting a turkey for togetherness, a roof to protect your home, and an AR-15 to protect your family.
Some people love it and are sharing it on social media. Others, like Patty Brigham from Stop Gun Violence Florida, are not fans of the promotion.
The AR-15 is the choice of mass shooters.
She calls it sick and says it does not promote family values.
Those who take the rifle will have to undergo background checks, but those who don't will just get a discount. This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
Imagine getting ahead of your irritable bowel syndrome with constipation or IBS-C by treating it with Linzess. Then you could start proactively managing your constipation with belly pain and get ahead of your symptoms. Talk to your doctor about Linzess, linaclotide. Linzess is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. It's not a laxative. It's a once-daily pill that helps you get ahead of your symptoms. It's proven to help you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually.
Do not give Linzess to children less than 2. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling.
Imagine, what could relief from IBS-C mean for you? Talk to your doctor and say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS.
Serving central Wisconsin since 1940.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Human remains have been found on the Menominee Indian Reservation in Kashina. Here's Pete Schwabe with more details.
The Menominee Tribal Police Department says a hunter found the remains in a wooded area on Monday, October 30th. Menominee authorities will partner with the FBI as they try to identify the victim and how they died. Authorities say the community is not believed to be in any danger.
Portage County experienced unprecedented demand during the electric and small appliance recycling event in October. People were lined up for hours and many were turned away. They're holding a Take Two recycling event on Saturday, December 2nd. This time you must register by December 1st to drop off items. Residents of Portage County can bring a maximum of 20 items per vehicle, and you must arrive during your scheduled time slot. Visit co.portage.wi.gov to register. Time slots are already booking up. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news talk and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
A new head coach.
We got one objective and one goal, is to play for a championship.
A talented backfield.
Braylon Allen does it again.
And a defense that just...
down he goes.
Won't...
intercepted. He's gone.
Stop.
Another turnover forced.
Join us Saturday. Wisconsin heads to Bloomington to face the Hoosiers. Our coverage begins at 9 a.m. on your home for Wisconsin football.
It's about effort. It's about intensity.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield on Wisconsin.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. 31 tonight under cloudy skies. Southwesterly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. High of 49 tomorrow. Chance for mixed precipitation. 27 tomorrow night. Cloudy. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 47.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this November 2nd, 2023. I have your host, James J. Maloff, here. In part two today at 3:30, Kayla Rombalski is going to join us, community development educator with UW Extension. Right now, in studio, our great friend, Reverend Beth Habhager, is with us right now. Beth, always good to see you.
You as well, James. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. Right away, want to get to a couple of, let the audience know we're going to talk about a couple of things today. Mm-hmm. Looking forward to getting into with you. But, Beth, I was on your website. I was actually on there with my dad, I want to say the other day, and I noticed, and I don't know if this is new or I just didn't notice it before, but you have the Moravian motto there.
Yes, and it's always been there.
I thought so.
Yeah.
I figured it was one of those things that I'd probably seen and just had forgotten or what have
right.
you. But I thought a nice way to start our show would be to let the audience know, especially those that don't know, the Moravian motto.
It's an essentials unity and non-essentials liberty and all things love.
And I think that that's a great idea to keep in the back of your mind in general,
mm-hmm.
but especially when we're talking about the Moravian Church,
right.
we're talking about different things going on over
right.
there.
And true confessions, this was not originated in the Moravian Church, but it is a motto that we, since our inception, have really clung to and try to live out as much as we can.
Mm-hmm. And I think it sets the tone. Mm-hmm. For what we're going to talk about today and we're going to get into. And the Grace Ministerial Group.
Yes.
Got it right that time.
Yes, you did.
It took me some practice. I want to start there, if you don't mind, Beth.
Okay. Well, Grace stands for the Greater Rapids Area Churches for Ecumenism. And so ecumenism is a great church word, and it basically means churches that are willing to work together.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a group of churches of different denominations, different backgrounds, at this point all Christian, looking to help work together to better the communities.
Mm-hmm.
So we started, we were very much early in our inception. It's kind of a transition from what used to be known as Cranberry Clergy, which was just mm-hmm. a ministerial group that would gather monthly to do some education and to support one another.
Mm-hmm.
We really felt that it was time to start to band together to help the community in a mm-hmm. greater way. And mm-hmm. so last year we took on the event of trying to help support specifically the Nakusa school system.
Mm-hmm.
And again, this will be rotating in helping to pay down the food service debt of mm-hmm. the students, specifically the seniors, because if they carry any food service debt, they're not able to walk at graduation.
Yeah.
So through doing a walk that we sponsored in the spring, and then through a church who did their own fundraising with it, we were able to raise $2,500, which not only covered all of the seniors, but even started to drop down into the juniors.
That's so cool.
So we were able to let the graduates walk. This year, we'd like to start doing the same thing, to mm-hmm. start raising funds to be able to help with the food service debt here in the Wisconsin Rapids school system so mm-hmm. that all of the seniors can walk with their class this year mm-hmm. as well. So we're going to start that as a part of a community worship service that mm-hmm. we want to provide.
Mm-hmm.
So this started a couple of years ago, was not well publicized, so we're hoping maybe this year there'll be better publicity and we'll get more people.
Yeah.
But several denominations, Lutheran, United Methodist, Moravian, and other denominations are coming together for community Thanksgiving service.
Mm.
And instead of trying to do it on Thanksgiving Eve, because we've got the Rekindle the Spirit parade here in mm-hmm. town, we're doing it the Sunday evening before Thanksgiving.
Nice.
So November 19th from 6 to 7 at the Port Edwards United Methodist Church.
Okay.
We're inviting anybody from within the whole area to come together for, it's a worship service to basically thank God for the blessings that we have. To be grateful for what we do have, realizing there's others that don't have. Mm-hmm. And as part of that, we are taking an offering, and all of the funds that will be raised through that offering will go towards this food service debt payment. Mm-hmm. In the past, and I believe it wouldn't be turned down if you brought in non-perishable food items, those will go towards FOCUS to help our food pantry stay stocked. So this is some tangible ways that we are coming together to show that it doesn't matter what our backgrounds are, that we are all one, and that we can all help to better our community.
You know, if you don't mind, Beth, I want to kind of pause this for a second and get into the clergy, if you don't mind. For those that don't know, Beth comes from this background. Your father was a preacher, correct?
My whole life, yes.
Yeah. So you know this in this life, this forgive me for lack of a better term, industry, if you will. And you understand now. You understand it better than I do. And I'm curious: is this something that has been out of society? I've been out of communities, churches working together, or it's something that happens often, or happens other times as well in history. You know, to churches in a community working together.
As long as I've remembered, it's been a part of who we are. Mm-hmm. And every community that I've been a part of has had some type of a ministerial association or a group of clergy that would band together to do things for the community.
Because when I looked into this a little bit, I was so like wonderfully surprised that this seems to be something that has existed for a long time. I, as somebody from the outside looking in, wouldn't have thought that. Would have thought that certainly there isn't, it's not like gang warfare, like, you know, this church and this church, you can't walk on that side wearing colors or anything like that. But I mean, I didn't know that there was such a community effort to work together and look out for each other. And we understand how much better we are when we work together. Mm-hmm. We've seen this with our nonprofits.
Right.
Them working together more and more in the last 10 years has only benefited our community. Mm-hmm. And we see that in other communities. So to see something like this, a young organization coming together, you and your fellow colleagues working together for the betterment of our community.
Right.
I mean, that's the good story of the day for the next couple of days. I mean, that's a really beautiful thing. I don't want to skate past that too far. And we want to support that organization, that group, as much as we can. When different events come up, please let us know. I believe you have a connection here. You have a couple connections here, let's be honest.
Do I? Wait a second.
Yeah. So we look forward to us talking more and more about these kind of events.
And we actually have one that hasn't been publicized yet that I was going to bring today with what's going on in our world specifically and what's going on in the Middle East. A group for anybody in the community that wants to come together, we're going to have a prayer vigil at Veterans Park on Veterans Day, so November 11th. At 11 a.m. At Veterans Park, anybody and everyone is welcome. And all we're going to do is pray. We're going to pray for peace, specifically in the Middle East and then throughout our world and in our community, because we see so much hatred and violence going on. Mm-hmm. And we know that that's not what God wants. God's heart is for us to get along and for us to be at peace. And so this is an opportunity to lift up that value to our God. Regardless of what our faith backgrounds are, this is just a chance to come to the one who created all things and ask for that being that who I believe is God to help make that happen.
When I was young and first starting as a writer, I wrote a line, I'll never apologize for who I am and will be the same God that made you created me.
Amen.
That's something that's always stuck with me, and I'm hearing this, and I'm hearing these organizations coming together and everything. It just speaks to me that's the essence so much of so not just this and this organization, but so much of life is understanding that. I think about a lot of those things when you and I get together, oftentimes when we talk, and I appreciate that from you and in the organization, and certainly from the church. With this event, what are the dates of it again, how can we get involved? How can we help? So we know more.
The prayer vigil will be, again, as I said, be
the prayer vigil and then this.
So November 11th at 11 a.m. So we try to make it easy. 11. Anybody gather at Veterans Park. That's the, right by Jennings and downtown Wisconsin Rapids. And it won't be very long, but it'll be an opportunity to just to gather together for prayer. And then our community Thanksgiving service will be at the Port Edwards United Methodist Church on Sunday, November 19th from 6 to about 7 o'clock p.m. And then following, there will be a reception. I'm understanding it will probably be pie.
Ooh.
So if, you know, Seth, if you're listening,
there will be pie. Yeah. So Seth will be there.
Seth will be there with me. Yes.
It's a really nice event. It's a really good idea. We're looking forward to talking more and more about that and getting people to know about it as we go forward.
And then as we get into the more holiday, the Christmas season, we will once again be offering the Blue Christmas service. That's the Wednesday before Christmas, so December 20th at 6 p.m., and that will be at the Moravian Church. Again, it's an opportunity specifically for those who are struggling with grief during the holiday season, those who have maybe recently lost someone, or even if you've lost someone further in the past. We encourage you to come and bring a picture. If you're struggling with any challenge, mentally, physically, financially, if there's something that is making the holiday season not as joyful as you would like, it is an opportunity to recognize that. That just because this is supposed to be, quote unquote, the happiest time of the year, it not always is. And so to recognize that even in the joy, there is challenge, we encourage you to come join us for that as well.
My first handful of Christmases, if not almost all of them, had a horrible trauma attached to them. Something I saw death, or I experienced it, or et cetera, et cetera. And I didn't realize that, you know, older me had had this grumpiness towards Christmas because of this stuff, and I hadn't really dealt with. And I've thought about going to that before. And it's not, I understand, the same exact kind of thing, but it sort of is. And I appreciate the service, the spirit of this, the idea of this and everything. And I think there's people out there, you hear something like that and you think of maybe losing a close relative in the last year or two. That's not, this could be from 20 years ago, it could be 30 years ago. I mean, trauma doesn't have a timeline. It doesn't have a blueprint.
Grief is not something that is once and over. Grief is going to be a companion for the rest of your life. And I lost my mom 15 years ago and my sister 12 years ago. I love going to this service because it allows me to claim that bittersweet, that I miss having them with me. And that will always be something missing during the holidays for me now. But being able to recognize I can still, in my grief, celebrate what the holiday season means.
Well, and I didn't want to put you on the spot, so I appreciate you sharing that, because I think that it does help for people, especially when it comes to grief, talking to somebody that knows what they're talking about, that goes a long way. So I appreciate you sharing that, and I'm thankful to you for that, and for this service because of that, and in part for you as well, not just our community, but for you even, as somebody who cares about you and stuff. Yeah. It's good
Thank
to see.
You.
I also think that it reminds me, too, whether it is this or the vigil you're speaking of, where that is coming up, that it sometimes you feel so like you deal with such big situations. It's the Middle East, or it's grief, or any of these things, and you feel like you're the only person going through it. And so often it can be so helpful to just know that there's somebody else feeling what you're feeling or going through something similar. Even if you don't share a word together, just a glance and knowing that look in their eyes is very similar to the one that I see when I look in the mirror, and knowing I'm not alone. That goes so far in life.
Well, I believe that we were created to be relational people. So we were meant to be with one another and support one another. And we're living in a society that is finding ways to isolate us more and more and more. And we think that the devices that we have, our cell phones and things like that, are bringing us closer together. And really, they're giving us an excuse not to have to be with anybody else. And so offering more and more opportunities for us to be able to gather together, to look at what we have in common, rather than focusing on what divides us, allows us to start to develop those relationships again.
Certainly have all these events that we've just touched on. We'll be talking about them more as we get closer to them, and certainly be bringing you back, especially come Christmas, to talk more about the Blue Christmas and that. I look forward to it. I do want to get to the Winter Farmers Market and talk about that a little bit with you, because this is it's not only a fun, great event, and it's a great way to support our community, but I think that the way that you guys have logistically worked this out, I want to start there. I think this is so cool. I don't remember if this has been always the case. I don't seem to remember where the summer farmers market wraps up, and we have no turn-off time. Like, it goes right from that to the winter farmers market.
I think this is the first year that that's happened.
Okay, I think that's really cool. And not logistically easy to pull off, always.
No. it happened that the last date that the outdoor farmers market was going to happen was right around the same time and was the same weekend that we were having our book sale at the Moravian Church. And so the first weekend that we could possibly offer our Winter's Farmers Market was literally the weekend after it finished outside. So it just happened by, I call it a godsidence.
Love that word.
Well, my favorite definition of coincidence is God working a miracle but wishing to remain anonymous. It just happened to be that that we were able to start our indoor farmers market the Saturday after the outdoors one finished.
When it comes to the Winter's Farmers Market, how does it differ from the summer market?
It's all indoors.
There you
go. There's a huge difference. Nice advantage. So all of the vendors are kind of more tightly together. Mm-hmm. And so you walk into the room and you can already start to see who all's there, and it becomes easier to kind of find what you're looking for. It's more intimate because everything is all in a smaller space and not out in the open. We do have food vendors. We're going to have the tamales coming this week.
Nice.
So if you're looking for those, we've got some great food. We have apples that are being sold. Mm-hmm. With apple cider, we've got Scentsy. We've got all sorts of different offerings that are down there. The fry pies are back. So
nice.
If you like the Amish fry pies, come check us out. And even if it's just to come say hello to your neighbor, it's a great social event to just browse, see what's there. Maybe you find something, maybe you don't, but at least you get to spend some time with your neighbors and see who's in the community.
Yeah, we know what's coming. As it gets colder out there, it's only going to get harder and harder to get out and get doing things. And we live in shacks. We go from one shack to the next. It's just different names. We go from our house to our job or whatever, but it's just shack to shack. We're just trying not to be outdoors. We're outdoors as little as possible. Having an event like this, I think you hit on a really good note there. Yes, come on down. Purchase some of these things, buy local, support local. You're helping our ag industry. But even if you come down, you have a cup of coffee, you're just coming down to say hi to some people. I think that's a great idea, too. It's just a nice atmosphere.
Yes, absolutely.
I'm always curious, because there's so much room you guys got down there and everything. About how many vendors do you think you can fit?
We have space for about 25.
Okay,
and
nice.
We've been getting probably 8 to 12 or so. Mm-hmm. So there's still space. If you're a vendor out there and you're looking for a place to possibly come and just explore, we have weekly rates, we've got monthly rates, we've got seasonal rates. So you can come for half of the season, you can come for the whole season, you can come for 1 week, check it out. If it works for you, then buy for the month. If that doesn't, you know, if that works well, then keep on coming back. We'd be glad to have you.
And when it comes to vendors out there, people that are interested, you say you have some space. So we encourage them to reach out to you guys, too.
Absolutely. We do have a dedicated phone line for that. So you're going to want to call 715-697-9762. And you can speak with our coordinator, Mike Barnes. He'd be glad to give you information. We do have a contract for you to sign that kind of goes over what the expectations are for you as the vendor, what we're willing to offer. And it also gives you our whole cost for what that is. And we are very comparatively cost to any other Winter's Farmers Market that you're going to find in the area.
It's a really nice point, one we don't get to touch on very often. I'm glad that came up. And I hope you know by this point, Beth, whether it is as a friend, a colleague on stage or here in the studio, I respect you and appreciate you. And I don't want to waste your time. But I did do all of this just so I could talk about baked goods at the church.
Oh, okay. All right.
This whole conversation has been leading up to. Will there be baked goods at the farmers market?
Not by our congregation, but we do have a baker that comes every week. E2, I believe, is her name. And she has cookies, she has sweets, she has all sorts of things. So there are baked goods that are being sold there, as well as spices and other things that you can find, salsa. great stuff.
Telling you, of course, the homemade stuff is always amazing, but you can buy a box of cookies at a grocery store. Mm-hmm. If you open them in a church, they just taste better. They just do. There's something about it. So that's really cool. That's nice. An added part of this, too. That brings us a little bit back to the book sale that mm-hmm. happened recently, mm-hmm. Which was a success, did very well, and yes. And I'm very happy to hear about that. And a shout out to the community supporting that.
Yes, thank you for all your help.
Beth, the Winter Farmers Market, how long is it going to be going for?
We're going to take, I believe, Thanksgiving weekend and yeah. Christmas weekend off. But mm-hmm. other than that, we started October 31st, and we're going to go through the end of May.
So keep that in mind, everybody. Mm-hmm. If you are planning on hitting the farmers market, do so outside of those weekends. Mm-hmm. Those weekends are going to be a little bit, they're off doing it with their families and stuff, so that's nice. But come right back the next
yep.
weekend.
Yep.
And this is one of those things, too. Say you've already been to the winter farmers market. I've already been there. Well, it changes. I mean, every week is a different, there's no reruns here.
Well, and part of it is there are other vendor shows that are around. And so sometimes our vendors would rather, maybe established at those shows. And mm-hmm. so they spend that week there. So you don't know which vendors are going to be able to come and which ones aren't. So that's why we encourage you. It's not going to be a repeat. It's right. always going to be a different variety every week. There are some that will be there every week consistently and others that are only going to show up now and then. So you never know. You need to come check it out.
And things, life is ever changing, of course. Mm-hmm. So I think a great way to keep up on things at the Farmers Market, you guys have a Facebook page?
We do. The Wisconsin Rapids Winters Farmers Market. You can find us on Facebook. We do have tabs on our website at the church. So if you go to wrmoravian.org, in the top right, you're going to click the tab and you'll, I believe it's under more. You look for Winter's Farmers Market, and that'll be there, including the updated times of the Winter's Farmers Market. Mm-hmm. After we published our press release, we had some changes that have happened. So we'll be running from 9 a.m. only till 1 p.m., okay. not till 2. Mm. So we're going to close at 1 now rather than 2 o'clock. So if you're going to come, you need to come from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Saturday mornings.
And it's going to be every Saturday up until spring?
Yeah,
outside of those two weekends that we touched on before.
Correct.
And so you've got a lot of time to take this in. But again, every weekend you want to go down mm-hmm. if you can, because it's going to be different every weekend.
Right. And we do have inclement weather policies so that we will get information out. And if we were to happen to have a funeral that we would need to deal with, mm-hmm. there's also a closing policy for that. So check out our Facebook page. That's the best way to have the most up-to-date, accurate information.
And Beth, if you don't mind, I wanted to wrap up just talking about your services and how people can take those in. Certainly, we encourage people to come to the church
on
Sundays this beautiful church. If you have never been there before, God, it's beautiful. And it's one of the best buildings we have in this town. Going there, checking that out, mm-hmm. even alone is wonderful, let alone the words and the services that Beth gives. As I mentioned before, this isn't my wheelhouse, but I can't help but be moved by your words. When you speak, I can hear somebody else saying the same things, and it doesn't hit me with the way you do it. It's just different. And my father feels the same exact way, and he's so thankful, especially while he's been going through this hip recovery, and he mm-hmm. can't get to your services in person. He's able to take them in online. Can we tell people how they can do that?
Yes, absolutely. Well, if you would like to come in person, we're at 310 First Avenue South. You can tell our church because it has a giant brick cross tower in front
can't
of it.
Can't miss it. You really can't miss it.
It's right on the river.
Which one's the church?
So we're right beside the old Tribune building, too, so that's kind of another landmark that you can have. Yeah. Our worship service starts at 10:15, so that's when our prelude will start. We also Zoom, so there is a link on our website, wrmoravian.org. You can click on the link and come in on our Zoom. If you do that, you'll be a part of our prayer time prior to the service. So because of privacy issues, we try not to put that out on our YouTube channel.
Yeah.
If you would rather just join us for the worship service itself, usually about 5 to 10 minutes is our pre-service. Yeah, yeah, so yeah. Our prayer time sharing. So the service will probably start on our YouTube channel around 10:20, 10:22, 10:25-ish. Okay. So if you get on at 10:15, just be patient. We are coming. I promise you we are coming. But you can go to the Wisconsin Rapids Moravian Church YouTube channel, and we live stream, and then it stays on there. So that if there's a service that you're kind of curious about, like last week we had our All Saints service. So you can can go back to our channel and find October 29th and see what we did for All Saints.
Mm-hmm. Again, go to your search bar on YouTube, type in there Wisconsin Rapids Moravian Church, subscribe to their page, keep up to date on the great things that they're doing over there. Beth, as we're wrapping up here, can we one more time tell people the date, the details of the Grace Ministerial Group?
Yes. So the community worship service is on Sunday, November 19th from 6 to 7 p.m. at the Port Edwards United Methodist Church. And then our Blue Christmas service will be on December 20th at 6 p.m. at the Wisconsin Rapids Moravian Church. Any church is welcome to be a part of the Greater Rapids Area Churches for Ecumenism. Mm-hmm. If you have any questions, please feel free to just contact me. You can find my information on our website.
And again, that website is WRMoravian.org, WRMoravian.org. And be sure to follow the Winter Farmers Market on their Facebook page. Keep up to date on those things. Winter Farmers Market going on at the Moravian Church every Saturday from 9 to 1, except for the weekends, the holiday weekends of Thanksgiving and Christmas. Mm-hmm. Outside of that, any Saturday, head on over there, everybody. Beth, always good talking with you. Thanks for the time.
Thank you for having me in.
We'll come back with more Midday Magazine on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Locally grown radio, your home for news talk and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Research shows that 18 to 24-year-olds are actually losing more money to scams than older age groups. Brittany Merlot has the story.
The Better Business Bureau shows the number one scam for that age group is employment. Scammers have been using job searching websites to target their victims, like LinkedIn, Indeed, or ZipRecruiter. Scammers use the information from your profile to contact you and offer you a fake job.
The BBB says if you're unsure if something is real or not, call the company you're interested in and ask them questions. Never give out personal information if you're uncertain. There's a new service to help families of children with special health care needs. The Wisconsin Department of Health Services launched Wisconsin Wayfinder, a children's resource network. It has a user-friendly website and toll-free helpline that lets families easily connect with real people who will help them access and connect with the vital resources they need to help their children thrive. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. 31 tonight, under cloudy skies, southwesterly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. High of 49 tomorrow, chance for mixed precipitation. 27 tomorrow night, cloudy. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 47.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this November 2nd, 2023. Have your host, James J. Maloff, here, and I am joined by Kayla Rombalski, Community Development Educator with UW-Madison Extension, Wood County. Kayla, how are you?
I'm doing well, James. How are you?
Doing good, doing good. It's always good to talk to you.
I have to say, your pronunciation of my last name has gotten to a flawless point. You do great.
I've honestly been working on it. It's the biggest crux of my job is messing up people's names. I feel so horrible for it. I chew on it like until like 2 a.m. So I've been working at that. I appreciate that. Thanks. You got a beautiful name. I want to get it right.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that too.
Appreciate the topic today. We're going to get into economic development a bit, and looking forward to this conversation. I think this is one we could have almost every month you join us, and never touch on everything about it. So let's start right with what is economic development,
and that, my friend, is the million-dollar question. So this is a question that county boards are wrestling with. I think state agencies are wrestling with. Economic development is broad. So, you know, James, sometimes we joke about how you and I are going to solve the world's problems. So maybe right now we can solve the problem of what is economic development and how do you define it?
Time to roll up our sleeves and solve another problem. All right.
Let's do it. All right. So starting with, you know, a very credible source, take that with a grain of salt. Mm-hmm. Wikipedia defines economic development as In the economics study of the public sector, economic and social development is the process by which the economic well-being and quality of life of a nation, region, local community, or an individual are improved according to targeted goals and objectives.
So what do you take from that? Yeah. What do you take from that, Kate?
So a couple of points there that are kind of interesting. You know, I think the problem with economic, not the problem, the problem with the definition of economic development is that piece right there on well-being and quality of life. So well-being and quality of life of a nation, a region, a local community, or an individual are improved. Thus being that anything that is economic development can improve quality of life of an individual or a community. And things that can improve quality of life are so diverse. So we really struggle to say, for example, recently the SEED committee at the county level received a request for economic development funds from a crosswalk in the city of Marshfield that will connect two tourism destinations. So the Van de Hay Waters Aquatic Complex and a mini golf business that will be going in across the street. Is that economic development? You could make the argument that yes, it's economic development. It's tourism. It's increasing and impacting quality of life and well-being. But it's also public safety. Is public safety economic development?
It's a great
question. That's where it gets tricky. So that definition that I just cited then goes on to say the precise definition of economic development has been contested. And I think that's what's playing out both across our county, locally, across our region, across our state, and even on the national level. I think essentially, when people are talking about economic development, a lot of what they're talking about is tying directly to the economy. So they're talking about the creation of wealth and the creation of jobs. But even that is really broad as you're looking at job creation and what creates wealth. You know, entrepreneurialism creates, you know, initially one job for the person who has started the business, but down the road could lead to many more jobs. How does that fit into economic development?
So I think right away, one of the first things that pops in my mind, Kayla, with this topic is that the better we understand what economic development is, the better we can achieve it.
Exactly.
So I think this is a not only a great topic, but I think it's an important one where we're getting into this. And I think you hear terminology often. We get our brains get a little numb to it. We hear different phrases or corporate business lingo or anything like that, and just kind of get numb to it. And you feel like you know the answer of what that means, but you don't. You've never really had anybody define it for you. So having a bit of a even if it's a loose definition or a definition that doesn't hit exactly the exact note, it's helpful going forward for especially rural communities.
Right. It definitely is. And economic development is such a buzzword lately that I think it gets thrown around and no one really has an exact definition of what it is. And then when you get into it, you come across just the same nuances that we were just discussing.
And when it comes to economic development, it ties to our economy, so they're intertwined. They're rooted together. And there's no community, whether big or small, that does not look into increase, if not keep, their economy the way it is.
Right.
So where do we, when it comes to this, it's so broad, what leads to quality of life in communities?
Great question. So quality of life in communities can be achieved through a variety of means. One of the ways that we are achieving it in Wood County, or that we are trying to achieve it in Wood County, is through our READY plan. READY stands for Rural Economic Development Initiative. And this was a plan that was put in place back in 2021 is when it was finalized. The actual document was finalized. And of course, it was much of the work had been done during COVID, and 2021 was still largely in the time when COVID was really rampant. And so to some extent, this got put on the back burner because it just wasn't a priority related to the public health crisis. Mm. But now in 2023, we have been pretty diligently over the past couple of months, and I've talked about this with you before, launching a number of subgroups underneath that Ready Plan. We're calling them implementation teams, mm-hmm. and they cover a wide range of economic development topics that we have found, both from this study in 2021 that was done and all of the work that was put into this plan, and then also from our peers across the region and across the state and really across the nation, that these are the sort of the forefront topics in economic development, and that making a change in these topics will really affect the outcomes for quality of life, for economic well-being in our communities. So I wanted to spend sort of the second half of our conversation really diving into an update on each of those strategy teams and what they're working on.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's dive in.
All right. Okay. So we'll start with broadband infrastructure. So as we talk about economic development and we talk about well-being, we know that especially post-COVID, you really families, workers really need a quality internet connection in order to live and work effectively. And we're seeing this across all sectors. So not only for our students who are doing remote learning, you know, James, you and I have laughed about this in the past, but there are no more snow days. Mm-hmm. A snow day is not a thing anymore. It's an e-learning day.
Yeah.
And so certainly for those purposes, broadband, a really quality broadband connection is needed, but then also like precision agriculture. Our producers, our farmers are able to really pinpoint different parts of their agricultural business, their crop production on their phones, on tablets, and being able to monitor the production of their farm real time digitally. They really need quality internet for that.
Mm-hmm.
So that team has been working hard. What we've recently learned is that there is a program called Enhanced ACAM, and it means that if the provider, the internet service provider, who is eligible for this accepts, they will cover a large portion of Wood County, ensuring 100 by 20 speeds for a large segment of the population. And so they did accept that the selected provider per the feds was TDS. And so TDS will be coming into a pretty big chunk of Wood County and providing at least 100 by 20 speeds for broadband. We are going to be working with them to make sure that whatever speed they put in is really future-proof and is serving the residents of Wood County. So that's kind of the biggest initiative that broadband task force is taking on, but really looking at the long-term goal of making sure that every household in Wood County who wants internet access has not only the ability to connect to a high-speed internet provider or high-speed internet system, but also has the technical expertise to be able to access that connection. So it's that two-part piece, right?
First,
making sure that you have the technology available, but then also beyond that, maybe grandma and grandpa have the technology, but they've never logged on to the computer before. And
mm-hmm.
Having the knowledge to be able to access that is the second part of it.
Both integral to this process. And the other part of that, too, that I think is so impressive about this insight of this is the future proofing of it. The idea of even thinking that forward and thinking of that. We understand that, I think we understand pretty darn well nowadays that we're not getting away from the tech world. We're only going more into it. And we understand, I think, just as much that this brand new device that came out yesterday, it's already old. It's already ancient.
Right.
It came out 24
right.
hours ago. This is the brand new tech. This is the brand new thing. That's the, that's an industry that literally, as we're talking, it's growing and changing. So the, to make it future-proof is, I don't know, incredibly smart and insightful, I think.
Yes. Yeah. And this work is being done with the support and the input from nearly 100 stakeholders in Wood County and in the region. So as we go through each of these groups that have been meeting, each group has 20 to 30 people that are meeting regularly to talk about this. This topic, so in this case, broadband, and have some subject matter expertise in that area, and are talking about how to make things better across the county related to that topic. So it's definitely not something that is being done in a silo, and you know, calling out the fact that they're making really progressive, really important decisions is just because of the nature of who's on those teams.
Mm-hmm. And there's another committee that's come together for to help this initiative, this cause.
Yes. So another one is the Entrepreneurial Ecosystem Steering Committee. So as we talk about entrepreneurship in Wood County, that team really has a focus in a couple of places. First, wanting to help grow and develop youth entrepreneurs. So looking at how do we teach our youth, our middle school, high school students, maybe even starting in elementary, about how to start their own business, how to be their own boss? What does that look like? You know, how do we instill those skills that they need to be self-sufficient, to start their own business, to create their own product, if you will, into youth? And even if they don't, you know, even if they go through the process, for example, they have a widget that they're creating or you know, an item, that even if they go through the process and that's not a full-fledged business by the time that they're done, maybe when they, you know, move on, if they're going to post-secondary education or something like that, having had those skills at a young age and having had that experience of being able to you know, to pitch your business, to write a business plan, to do each of those concepts is hugely beneficial to whatever employer they go on to. Those are skills that have to be, in many cases, learned. They can't be taught. And that is a huge benefit to any future employer, not only just to the entrepreneurism piece of our community. So that team has some long-range goals to see more more support for youth entrepreneurs and what that might look like.
Similar.
And one of the ways that they're go ahead.
No, you had the segue. You were right going to it. I was trying to set you up. You got it.
Yeah. So one of the ways that could potentially be looked at, and I want to say that I'm really just briefly highlighting the work that each of these teams are doing. We could spend an entire, and we have spent an entire 30-minute conversation on any one of these topics, but I wanted to spend today just giving sort of an overview. So one of the ways that a youth, perhaps a high school student, could look at entrepreneurship is maybe deciding that they want to open a childcare business. Childcare right now in our communities and our state is kind of a topic that has seen a lot of legislative coverage, has had a lot of discussions surrounding it. And we have a childcare task force in Wood County that's working on trying to advance access to quality childcare, as well as affordability of quality childcare. And that's a really multifaceted issue, but that team is looking at how can we fill the gaps. So we know right now that in Wood County there are a number of families that either can't afford childcare or they don't have access to it. So even if they can afford it, they don't have access to it.
Yeah.
And so that childcare piece is really important. We also know that people who perhaps are looking to relocate here for work, here to Wood County, are going to look for housing when they get here, as well as childcare for their family. If they don't have those things, they might look at a different community to accept a position in.
Yeah.
So the work of that child care task force has been sort of an important piece of economic development.
Yeah, Kayla, I can't speak to this enough. I know of people, I know I've heard from people that haven't moved here and people that have moved to this central Wisconsin area because of this very reason. I've got friends that are moving out of the state because of this reason. This right. is one of the biggest things that we have going on right now. That is not, I don't think, being touched on nearly enough, child care in this state and how many people are fleeing because of it. It's detrimental to the economy of this state. When we're talking about economic development, opening new businesses is great. Getting a new Starbucks is awesome. Child care is vital. It is right. everything going forward.
Yeah.
It's and great to hear that there's
the
a task force.
We've been looking at it as an infrastructure piece, the same way that you would look at broadband infrastructure as well as housing infrastructure, which is the next group that I wanted to touch base on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's get into that.
So the Housing Task Force was our last group to launch, and this group has just recently started meeting and is looking at just what you've just talked about. You know, we're hearing from realtors, we're hearing from companies in our area that sometimes people are looking to relocate here. They're looking to accept a position in Wood County, and they're realizing that they can't find housing. And so because of that, they have taken positions elsewhere, right? So we're talking so much about workforce. We talk about the challenges that our employers are facing where they can't find enough people to hire to fill the positions that they have. And here's one way that we are attracting workforce on one hand, but we're sending them away on the other hand. Mm. And so as we look at housing in our communities, it's really looking at housing across the county, not just in our you know, strong geographic centers of Marshfield and Wisconsin Rapids, but in rural areas as well. And I think a small win, and I shouldn't say small because it's not a small undertaking, but one win could come through municipal ordinances and zoning. So this committee that has just begun to meet will be looking at what are some ways that local government can make changes to incentivize housing and to incentivize perhaps rehabbing of older homes, new building, yes, but more utilizing the existing housing stock that we have to create new housing opportunities. Mm. So it's kind of that too is a really multifaceted issue. All of these are, but the Housing Task Force has some work underway, and it's exciting to hear them speak about the challenges, because there are some again, I'll use the term small wins, and then there are some much longer wins that really you're playing a long game as you're planning for each of these implementation teams and moving things forward.
All of these the different groups we're talking about, these teams that we're talking about, they have big plans, and they are not things that are going to happen overnight. They're going to take some patience, take some time, and some thought through, progressive thinking, if you will.
Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And this is where sort of my call to action comes in, and that would be that these teams are not operating in silos. They're not exclusive groups. So if there is a listener out there who's really passionate about a specific topic and they want to join these efforts, they are more than welcome to do so, can get in touch with me or with others who are engaged in these teams, and come to the table and join sort of the think tank, if you will, of how to move forward around these topics.
We had one more committee we were going to touch on before we wrap up here, Kayla.
Yes. So that last committee is branding oversight and outdoor recreational mapping. And so this team is actually the last to launch. They haven't fully launched yet, but big goals for 2024 and for the future of that team. So specifically looking at how do we market ourselves within Wood County, and how do we market our geographic centers, again, of you know, Marshfield, Rapids, both have strong convention and visitors bureaus, have strong tourism messagings and marketing messaging. Some of our smaller communities have that, those strong brands as well. How do we elevate those brands and represent and market the entire Ward County area to folks who are interested in traveling here, in moving here, in relocating, all of those different pieces? And then the outdoor recreational piece of that is how do we connect some of the great outdoor access that we have in Wood County to other access points throughout our region? So potentially looking at, you know, there are some different trail systems that connect in with trails that may or may not exist in Wood County. How do we increase our signage to make sure that folks know that they can get on the trail in Pittsville and they can take it all the way into you know, one side of the state or the other by going through these interconnected pieces.
So how, when it comes to that kind of thing, that seems like something that we could really use, not that we couldn't with all of these, but definitely use community feedback on.
Yes. And there will be an opportunity for that as that team gets going and gets moving. To provide that community feedback. So stay tuned for that.
Yeah.
In terms of the others, if there are feedback pieces or, you know, comments that folks have, we would welcome that that interaction. So.
Yeah, and, you know, as we're wrapping up here, Kayla, just got about a minute or so left. How can people be involved with some of these groups? How can people find out more?
Great question. So now comes the challenge that James and I have always talked about how do you share information over the radio? So if you Google, I'm going to use Google this time. Sometimes I say check us out on Facebook. This time I'll say Google. If you Google Extension Wood County or Google Ready Wood County, so Ready is R-E-D-I, you will be taken to the Extension website that has information on all of these groups that I've just talked about and what is happening with each of the subgroups, and we'll have ways for you to get connected.
We always appreciate the time, Kayla. If people have follow-up questions, want to get in touch with you, how can they do that, or similar way, same way?
Yeah, great question. Same way it works. Otherwise, K Rombalski, so R-O-M as in Mary, B-A-L-S-K-I, at W-I-S-C, as in Wisconsin, W-I-S-C.edu is my email. So I welcome emails, phone calls, carrier pigeons, whatever you need to do to communicate with me.
Smoke signals, Morse code. You know.
Yeah, all of it.
We always love talking with you, Kayla. Thank you so much for the time.
Yes, of course. Thank you, James. I appreciate it.
Take care.
You too.
We'll have more Midday Magazine for you tomorrow right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
CBS News Brief. More Americans escaped from Gaza to Egypt today. CBS's Chris Livesay in Cairo.
The first wave starting yesterday, they appear to be, you know, aid workers. Today, we're beginning to see something completely different, and those are actual residents of Gaza who have dual passports who are able to come out.
The U.S. says it's working to get more Americans out of there. The CDC says vaping among teens is down. American Lung Association spokeswoman Erica Sword weighed in.
The American Lung Association is very pleased to see that youth high school tobacco use overall declined from 16.5 to 12.6%.
And the Beatles released a new song today. Here's CBS's Vicki Barker.
The record's being issued as a double A-side single with the Beatles' 1962 debut, Love Me Do, on the B-side, bookending a musical career that can now be said to have lasted 61 years.
CBS News Brief, I'm Monica Ricks.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
This is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A group that wants Wisconsin's elections administrator impeached is setting its sights on Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, a new TV and newspaper advertisements in Milwaukee. The ads are paid for by a group calling itself the Wisconsin Elections Committee, based in Racine County. It makes debunked claims against Megan Wolf and threatens to unseat Voss if he doesn't impeach her. Governor Evers admits he hasn't visited any state prisons recently, even though three inmates have died in 4 months. Prisoners in Waupun, Green Bay, and Stanley have had to stay in their cells around the clock since March due to staffing shortages. Families say they're concerned about their mental and physical health. Evers says his corrections secretary visits the Waupun prison every day. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. November's Law of the Month is move over or slow down. Our first responders have a dangerous job, and too many are injured or killed because of secondary crashes. In Wisconsin, you are required to move out of the lane closest to emergency and roadside service vehicles. If you can't move over, you must slow down. Last year, over 300 on-duty workers were hurt and 5 were killed. Drivers play a critical role in keeping first responders and workers safe on our roadways. November is also National Healthy Skin Month. Skin is our body's largest organ and loses moisture as we age. Aspirus Health says it's never too late to start a healthy skin routine. Several tips include lowering the temperature in your bath or shower. Protect your lips with a lip balm and your hands with gloves. Always dress for the weather and humidify your home to add moisture to the air. Keeping skin fresh and well hydrated will keep it working and looking its best. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
Haven't been checking out Director's Cut lately? Well, here's some of the guests you may have missed.
Local legend from Four on the Floor, musical magician, one of my favorites, Pete Ravel. Michael Charles, Chicago Blues Hall of Fame, a man who has played with Buddy Guy.
Bria Krieger joining us, a local artist.
To welcome to the WFHR stage, the legends, the lizards themselves.
Best-selling author, Mystery Science Theater 3000 legend, Midwest's own Mary Jo Peel.
Director's Cut, every Sunday night from 8 to